Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 27th of October, recording at 9:05 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Stock markets, well, same old story. They were really battered. Wall Street swinging all around the place, a couple of hundred up, couple of hundred down, but and I think it actually reversed that order. Down, then up, a couple of hundred, then down. Closing near the lows of the day. Smaller percentage declines, though, than on Europe. In terms of long-dated government bonds, those prices were quiet, actually, quietly steady. And they've had a good rally recently. Dollar, same old story, also the yen, stronger here again today. An interesting development today, though, is the rebounds that we have seen in industrial metals. They've surged quite a bit. Owen has posted, or you will see when I post comment of the day, a chart of nickel, which had an upward dynamic. Tin had a considerably bigger upward dynamic, but all the industrial metals were quite strong today. They have been very weak recently, so I assume that that represents a bit of short covering. A number of the agricultural commodities were also firmer here today. Among going back to the industrials, though, crude oil was down, as was natural gas. Crude is currently trading at 62.22 cents. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in stock markets, this forced selling, this deleveraging that has been the dominant story here really for, well, you could say increasingly since May, and particularly this month, where we've had this astonishing decline. Now, how do I know that that's forced selling and deleveraging? Well, I think that aside from the direction of the actual move, which would strongly suggest that, but another factor that points to it very clearly is this continued strength of the US dollar and the Japanese yen. Now, I know we've been over this before, but it's a point worth repeating. Those were the key carry trade currencies. To a lesser extent, the Swiss franc was a carry trade currency, and it's been quite firm here overall. But really, it was the yen, most of all, and then the U.S. dollar, particularly as U.S. interest rates came down for the dollar. So all these people were borrowing in, and when I say all these people, who are we referring to? This could be it could be hedge funds, a number of large investors around the globe. This is something that became pretty much a global fashion among leveraged investors. So it may well have included the oligarchs who have been having such a difficult time recently, given the huge decline in the Russian stock market. So I think basically it wasn't just hedge funds, although they were certainly among the first and most aggressive users of the carry trades, but people basically, or investors, large investors all over the planet, were doing this. And therefore, this plunging stock market is really, in some respects, the inverse mirror image of the U.S. dollar, as these people scramble to cover their growing liabilities on those borrowings of dollars and Japanese yen. So a signal that we can anticipate at some stage is that I don't think we'll get we may not get a meaningful low in stock markets until we get at least a medium-term top in the dollar and the yen runs. You can, of course, monitor those very closely in the chart library. Now, the huge drop that we've seen in stock markets in October, on top of the already bull market, bigger pardon, on top of the already established bear market, and against the background of that particularly persistent decline since late May, has created a very overextended, overstretched position. But that doesn't mean that it can't get more overstretched in the short term. I won't go in terms of picking numbers. I know a lot of people are doing this, but it ain't over until it's over, as someone said, and we don't yet see the loss of downward momentum. We've had a brief pause recently. That occurred following the coordinated rescue package announced on the 10th of October. But unfortunately, most of the world's stock markets have subsequently resumed their declines, and I think Wall Street had a new closing low here today on at least the S&P. So this same deleveraging process is underway, and it's been self-feeding. And the more, as investors decide to move to cash, that selling forces additional fund selling, and of course, as I've already covered, the carry trade pressures as the yen and the dollar rise put a squeeze on leveraged investors who use those carry trade currencies. Okay. Now, therefore, as I say, we need to see evidence of a medium-term top in the dollar and the yen. I think that that will probably coincide with eventual evidence of a medium-term low for a number of stock markets. Are stock markets oversold? You bet. Are values improving? Absolutely. But the stock market tail is also wagging the economic dog to a certain extent. It does, I think, or it is contributing now to economic damage. People are frozen. They're not spending. Banks are reluctant to lend, or when they do lend, the prices are prohibitively expensive. A lot of people simply cannot get credit. So this is obviously a very worrying situation economically. And a number of people look at Wall Street and they say, well, it's gone back to the 2002 lows, as it has. Well, not quite to the 2002 lows, but it's certainly back into the 2002 and early 2003 base formation that we saw. But a number of people are saying, well, the fundamentals are infinitely worse this time, and they've certainly got a point. I don't think many of us would disagree with that view. So I'm afraid this worrying situation is likely to persist for a little bit longer. Now, I've done another charting exercise here because how do we actually deal with this? Well, a lot of people are very concerned, obviously, about the situation. It's been shocking. Stupefaction is a word that springs to mind. We've all been stupefied by this decline, and people are extremely cautious, so demand is very low. And that means that those who are selling are often selling into, well, not a complete vacuum, but into a environment of weak demand. And the markets have become somewhat dysfunctional, evidenced by the volatility which we see, which is another frightening factor for investors. So, not a healthy situation here overall. Some people are nibbling because they feel that values are quite attractive. If they do that incrementally on weakness, on a cost averaging basis, that has proved to be a rewarding strategy over the longer term. More conservative people may wish to or may prefer to maintain the cash levels that they currently hold. And if you want clear technical evidence of a more sustained recovery, well, that would be in the form of a complete loss of downward momentum, clear signs of type 1, type 2, or type 3 base formation development, as taught at the chart seminar, followed by rallies up out of those base formations by the leading stock markets, and also with the moving averages, those 200-day moving averages that I use as an approximate mean for trends, also turning upwards. Don't miss the 10-year chart of the S&P, that 10-year monthly chart of the S&P that I'm going to be posting a little later on today. Well, elsewhere, bond markets are caught between the bullish for bond investors situation in terms of weak growth and deflationary pressures, but also the relatively low interest rates, that the other concern being or the opposite concern being the relatively low interest rates that we have. Plus the huge supply of bonds that investors can anticipate, plus some eventual inflationary pressures due to all the liquidity that's being thrown into the system. Now, I maintain that we will need to see more than just a dead cat bounce in stock markets for these bonds to prices to weaken significantly, and they too have been extremely volatile in here. The industrial metals getting this short covering rally here today is really quite interesting. I did a little search on Bloomberg to see if there was a catalyst for this, and they were attributing it to housing starts not being quite so bad in the US on the latest monthly figures. Had been anticipated. That's a fairly flimsy excuse for the rally. In other words, I don't buy that as a story. But it's clearly somebody. It's apparent to me from the charts that somebody has decided to cover shorts in here. And after all, these commodities are not going to go down indefinitely. While it's not impossible for some vulnerable banks and other and companies to go bust during a recession. We know that tin is not going to go bust, that nickel is not going to go bust, that these agricultural commodities are not going to disappear. So there always will be a tradable market there, and if an investor decided, a large investor with a short position, decided that this was not a bad time to cover and say thank you very much. I think that's probably a smart move. Anybody else who's listening, who's in the fortunate position to have been short some of those metals that have been moving down quite strongly, I think it would really behoove them to have a trailing stop, a relatively tight trailing stop in those positions, so that so that they are taken out relatively early on in the next rise. And I think that when we do eventually get a cessation in this capitulation selling of equities, and some evidence, which I expect to occur coincidentally with a firmer tone in equities, topping action in the dollar and yen charts, I would also expect a number of these metals to rebound quite strongly. But at the moment, if I do a quick wrap on that, the stock market trend is still weak, albeit overextended, in the process of getting more overextended. And the yen rallies and the dollar rallies is somewhat overstretched, but it still is in these overall upward trends. No sign that they have peaked yet. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the important issues that I've noticed here today. So I'll just end in my usual fashion, saying all the best to all of you.